The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
My name is Elbert Lewis, Jr.
And I'm Alan McIntyre. And together we welcome you back to our show, Black on Black Commentary. And the intended audience for our show is the black community, yet others are encouraged and welcome to tune in. Each and every one of us has a unique bias when it comes to change or certain subjects. And I should warn you that the content of our program episodes is probably unlike anything you've heard coming out of the black community.
Again, I'd like to welcome you back and encourage you to keep an open mind and think for yourself. If you're not African American, we hope you'll listen in to our show as well. Our program is intended to educate our listeners and provoke serious thought. Each of our episodes will deal with a different topic of importance. Are you ready for some open and honest black on black commentary? Great, because it's time we talked. We got a response from our podcast on separatism from a Doug S. Somewhere out there in the great United States. And it really got me thinking about white privilege, because I'm not so sure exactly how I feel about it, but I do know that at one time in this country, there was white privilege. The history books prove that. When the country was first founded, heck, only white males that owned property could vote. When they were opened up the rest of the country, especially the Great Plains, the massive land giveaways resulted in people fresh off the boat from Europe moving in and establishing themselves as property owners. Of course, slavery, that's the ultimate white privilege, you know, owning another individual. After that, segregation, you know, the separate but equal, all the phases that we've gone through could be construed as situations of white privilege. But now, in this day and age, I'm not so sure. So I'm kind of curious, before I go too far, I want to get your stand on just exactly what white privilege is and if indeed it does exist.
Well, I would agree with you that it's definitely a historical fact. You would be hard-pressed to try and make an argument for it here in 2015. I mean, many black people will say, well, I can't change the color of my skin. I can't hide that. Therefore, if somebody wants to discriminate against me, it's easy for them to do that.
That's true.
But that's only if you're working under the assumption that there's many people out there that are looking to discriminate against you. I think as Americans, especially on the heels of, you know, electing a black president, we pretty much accept people for who they are, what they're capable of, and how they treat us.
And that's most people.
Yes, I think most human beings are of that state of mind. We're intelligent enough, we're educated enough to know that, you know, my neighbor, regardless of their color or complexion, they're just another human being, and we got to treat them with the same respect that we would want to be treated with. So I don't fear personally if I'm walking into a situation where I might be the only black guy that I might suffer as a result of that. So if I'm going out soliciting business or something like that, because I think people are genuinely interested in, let's say, doing the right thing. I don't think people wake up and look to discriminate unless they're just an absolute racist. And I don't know about you, but as for me, you know, I really can't recall the last time I've experienced racism, you know, that I've been called the N-word or that I feel as though I was denied something as a result of my color or something like that. As a matter of fact, as I go throughout my life day to day, I'm very happy with the state of America and how I'm treated by strangers and individuals as I go throughout my, you know, my daily travels. How about you?
Well, this is a nice segue. You said by most people. And I think what the perception of white privilege is really white preference. And that, to me, is just basic human nature. we as human beings have a natural affinity to people who look like us, talk like us, who eat the same foods, go to the same church, you know, belong to the same clubs. And I think that doesn't make white people terrible people.
Right.
But I do think there is a racial preference. And as human beings, we all have our circle of family and friends that we're comfortable with. And sometimes it's not racial animus that prevents you from stepping outside their circle. It's just personal preference. It's a comfort zone. I know I feel it at times, and I'm sure that the average white person feels it. But I think there is a group of people who somehow perceive that as being an extension of racism, which is greatly overblown.
Right. I'm there with you. I don't think that that is an example of racism or white privilege or anything like that. But I can honestly say that what draws me to an individual and what I look for in an individual is I literally, every day, I'm looking for people that are like-minded.
Right.
That is my first thought. My first honest thought is I want to be around people that are like-minded, that have the same values and belief system as me, and that's where I'm comfortable. I give you a perfect example. I have family members that I don't necessarily care to be around.
Absolutely.
You know, because their values and their belief system is very different from mine.
Yeah, right.
I'm not comfortable around you. I don't want to be around you. I'm going to be offended and maybe even angry because you're going to say something that I deem to be stupid, you know, and I just don't want to be around those types of people
stupid
that have those types of
self-destructive.
Those types of conversations. For example, my brother recently told me about one of my cousins, and he said that my cousin was talking about how he has this crazy ideology, and we were talking about where did he get this from, because we were all raised the same way by the same people,
mm-hmm.
and now he's left the country and come back, and he's going completely off the deep end. And everything is about oppression and race and all this stuff. And this is why I find that to be shocking. You've been in Europe. Now, supposedly in Europe, they claim that people are a little more less racist, so to speak, and that are a little more accepting because, you know, years ago, many blacks went to Europe in order to get acceptance.
Right.
You know, so I don't understand why he would come back. Well, actually, I do, because I do know that he has been in contact with some Muslims over there in Europe. And he shared some of the things with me that they shared with him.
Well,
and I'm telling you, it's really off the deep end.
Well, I think, and that's a good point, because I think the perception of white preference is distorted by the history of slavery, Jim Crow, discrimination.
Yeah.
Because I mean, when somebody tells me, a black person tells me that we're still in slavery, I mean, it galls me to no end to hear that. Now, I think if there are people out there, black people, who think they're still in slavery, when we have this environment that we live in that's so much opportunity, I mean, it's just wide open. But you're still sitting there thinking that you're still in slavery. Now, when that person walks into a situation and he sees as there's 30 white employees and maybe one or two black employees, his perception is going to be distorted by his own thought process.
And he's going to think that it's a racist environment because of the numbers.
Exactly.
Right.
And when I hear people talk
in a situation like that, I'm sorry, but in a situation like that, you got to take into consideration, for example, like out in Ferguson. They're talking about, we don't have enough black police officers. Well, how many black guys apply for the job?
Exactly.
How many other black guys that apply for the job, how many of them failed the drug test or whatever test?
When I heard that they had a majority black population and the elected officials are a vast majority white and the police department is a vast majority white, I could not feel any sympathy for those people out there. I really can't. Because you in this country, you have the opportunity to participate in the political system and determine your own fate. You have the opportunity to get an education as far as you can go and to help determine your own fate.
And if you sit
around and talk about you're still in slavery and you can't do this and can't do that because of your skin color and you think that there's white privilege is the reason why you haven't accomplished anything, it's hard for me to feel sorry
for you. Well, let me add this. Every day of your life, every minute of your life, you have the ability to begin with a new, fresh perspective.
Mm.
you don't have to accept that old narrative about white privilege. Absolutely. And the way, and if you do believe that narrative, you can overcome it just through perseverance. Exactly. Hard work, dedication, and commitment.
Obama is a perfect example. Shining example.
Well, he didn't work hard. He was just
I agree. He rode the shirt tails of Bush's monumental screw ups, you know, and far as in foreign policy. But still, for him to overcome the quote unquote white privilege and take the highest office in the land, I think it says a lot. And if there is a white privilege, you can overcome that to achieve anything you want to achieve.
I can certainly say we don't experience it. You know, me and you, we walk freely into restaurants, bars, amusement parks, movie theaters, malls, whatever, and nobody bothers us.
Right.
We go in, we mind our business, we do our shopping, we get entertained. We live our lives day to day with no problems. And I just think it's unfair for people to assign white privilege in 2015 to America. America is a very different place.
But I think there's another way to look at it. And this just occurred to me when you said that about walking into any situation or event or business and being treated like everybody else. I think when you observe the standard, when you conduct yourself
right.
as a professional.
Good point.
And treat people in the same way, respectfully, I think you get that in return. But if you're going to walk into a place when you're sagging and bagging
right.
and using broken English and you don't know what the hell you're doing or what you want to do, all you know is that you saw somebody else come in there and you think you're going to walk in and demand the type of respect that other people are getting, that's not going to happen.
Any black American in particular, any young black American, if they were to listen to this particular episode of this podcast, I think you summed it up right there. The key point is how you conduct yourself.
Right.
And that determines how you carry yourself, how other people are going to treat you and respect you and view you.
Right.
That is so key for me because even in the black community, when I'm throughout my day and I'm moving around throughout the black community, and I see these guys with their pants hanging off their behinds and hats all cock crazy and just all dressed like a clown. I instantly don't have any respect for them. And I have the basic respect I have to have for all human beings and all human life. But beyond that, you don't get any respect.
Right. And it's earned. Another thing, as far as privilege is concerned, I think my son was privileged. When I compare
Well, he was privileged to have you as a father.
Well, thank you for that. But when I compare how I grew up and how he grew up, I feel like he was privileged. You know, he didn't have to worry about having three square meals a day. He didn't have to worry about having adequate winter clothing. There was TV. Gas and electric was never cut off. There was cars, you know, available. So privilege is something I think that's provided by your family. It's not necessarily something that society grants you, but I think it comes from your family and how they conduct themselves and what kind of life they give you or provide you.
Elbert, you talk about your upbringing and how tough it was. It made you a better man. It made you a more sound, solid individual.
Well, I thank you for that. But I think it made me see this country in a different light than a lot of people. Like I said before in other podcasts, I don't see how anyone grew up during the Civil Rights era and after and not be enthused about determining your own fate, your own destiny.
Absolutely.
Because the opportunity is there. And if you, as a black person in this country, feel like someone else is privileged, then you know how to go about changing your life. You know how to provide that privilege for your children and your future generations. It's there for you.
Absolutely. And I today you pretty much hit a home run. And I really hope that this particular episode makes it to a lot of young black males and females in today's society, because I think they can learn a lot from this episode.
Give us some thought, and together, perhaps we can all ensure our country's future history and have it be something we can be proud of.